Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am just fantastic. I'm really excited to start this new podcast with you.
I'm excited too.
My favorite co-host, Faye.
Aww.
If you are new to listening to us, we are Unholy Gossip Girls. This is our first episode. And my name is Casey.
My name is Faye.
And we are two girls gossiping about all things unholy.
Yeah.
So, strap the fuck in.
Get ready.
Get ready. This is our first episode, but I kind of wanted to start each episode by asking what the hot goss was.
The hot goss.
You got any hot goss?
Let's see. No.
We just spent maybe, what, an hour and a half trying to get these fancy new microphones to work.
And we couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it! So guess what?
We're recording old school on our phone.
Old school on my phone. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Over it.
Over it.
If you guys have listened to us before, it is from our other podcast called Bachelorette Chow, which is a Futurama rewatch podcast. So
that one's been fun.
Go check it out.
It's really good.
We just finished season one, and we are going to take a short break and start Unholy Gossip Girls, and eventually we'll do both, but we're just going to focus on this one for right now.
This was our original idea.
Original true love.
True love.
True love is all things that just give you the...
Spooky scaries.
Spooky scaries and the goosebumps.
Yeah.
Do you say goosebumps or do you say goose pimples?
I say goosebumps.
I always think it's so weird people call them goose pimples.
Me too. R.L. Stine said goosebumps, so it's goosebumps.
Mm. And he would know.
He would know.
Wow. Okay, well, the way that this show is going to work is one week I am going to tell Faye a story, and the next week Faye is going to tell me a story, and then that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, week one.
And we don't know these stories.
Episode
we
one.
We don't know each other's stories.
No, we don't.
So it's
going to be really fun. Okay. So, Faye, are you ready?
I'm ready.
First of all, let's take a drink.
Okay.
Let's toast.
Clink. Good. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking some red wine.
Ooh.
I think it's a... I don't know what it is. It's a red box wine.
I'm drinking off-brand White Claw.
Yes, but Truly. Truly. It's truly our favorite.
It's truly better.
I love Truly.
Me too.
I'll be a Truly fan always and forever.
They should sponsor us.
Truly, if you hear us, hit me up.
Yeah, email us.
Truly, are you there?
Sponsor us.
Truly. We truly love you.
Truly you up?
Okay, so, let's get into this.
I'm ready.
I'm so excited. Okay, so, I am going to tell you the story of John Gilbert Graham.
Ooh, sounds spooky.
Yeah. Well, he's just an asshole.
Okay.
He's just, like, one of the OG assholes.
Yeah.
And he's from Denver, Colorado.
Ooh.
Yep. So, I wanted to, bring it on home for the first episode.
I think on the day we're recording this, it's Colorado Day, isn't it?
Is it really?
Or was that yesterday?
I have no idea.
Either today or yesterday, so we're close.
I do know that today they came out with a new flavor of the month at Baskin-Robbins.
No way.
Yeah, it's called Mom's Cookies.
I want that.
I'm gonna go get it.
I'm jealous.
Okay. John Gilbert Graham was born on January 23rd, 1932, in Denver, and he was the child of Daisy Graham and her second husband. Graham was born during the height of the Great Depression.
Oh, no.
And in 1937, his father died from pneumonia, causing Daisy to send young Graham to an orphanage due to their poverty.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm so poor, I can't have a kid anymore.
And she had other kids.
Oh, that's rude.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In 1941, Daisy was married for a third time to this dude called Earl King, who died shortly after their marriage, but she used his inheritance to buy a business, and she became a successful businesswoman. And even though she had all this money, she still left Graham at the orphanage.
Oh my God.
And she left him there and never went to get him.
Poor Graham.
And she had other kids.
That is just mean.
Yep. So, they did not get along, to say the least.
I'm sure.
Like, she obviously hated him. I don't know why. And he, for good reason, hated his mother. So they remained estranged until 1954. And by this time, Graham was 22 years old. And Daisy was running this successful restaurant. And he actually started working there with her.
I wouldn't.
And they had just the worst relationship. They were constantly arguing. And so, in 1955, just 1 year later, the restaurant was destroyed in a suspicious gas explosion. So, everybody thought that it was deliberately caused by Graham, because Graham had insured the restaurant and collected on the property insurance.
Can you do that? Insure a place you just work at?
Yeah, I'm sure he, because he's, like, the daughter of... I'm sure he insured it, like, in her name.
Oh.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure he insured.
I'm sure he insured.
I'm insured. I'm sure.
I'm insuring he insured it.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, so that was the background. I need another drink before
I'm ready.
This next segment. Okay, I titled this... When Shit Gets Real.
Ooh.
All right. So, Graham's mother decided to travel to Alaska to visit her daughter, the one that she actually liked and didn't send to an orphanage and didn't abandon as a child.
Tragic.
Yeah. So, she decides to go visit Alaska for, like, Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Graham's half-sister, so they're, like, technically related. Anyway, at the time, flight insurance could be routinely purchased in vending machines at airports.
In vending machines?
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I guess flights were pretty new, and people were so terrified that they started selling life insurance, like, in the terminals. So you could just walk up and, like, purchase a life insurance, like, card. I have no idea.
That's crazy.
You could just, like, take out a policy on yourself, be like, I want $20,000 worth of insurance, just in case I die on this plane. But, like, nobody was dying on planes.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
I so, love like, it.
People were just paranoid as fuck. So, anyway, so when was this? This was in 1955. In the 1980s is whenever they finally stopped doing that.
Really?
Yeah, so they did for, like, 25 years.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine?
I love it.
So, he purchased $37,500 in life insurance for his mother, without her knowing.
Suspicious.
In the terminal. And in today's money, well, in 2019, it was $360,000.
Wow.
For the life insurance. So, yeah. So, that would be, like, multiple policies, I'm assuming. So, he sat there for a while. It was just, like, clicking buttons.
That's insane.
Yeah, super suspicious. And so, whenever he was, I think he decided to, like, drive her to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And she had all these luggage, like, suitcases.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, I'm going to put a Christmas present in your suitcase for you. And so he goes into the trunk, puts this package in her suitcase, and then zips it up, and he takes it to, like, the little check-in, and they were weighing bags back then, and she had to pay, like, $100 in overages.
Oh my God.
For how heavy this was, and she didn't, like, suspect anything?
He got me 3 bowling balls! I love my son.
Alright, so, are you ready?
I'm ready.
On the evening of November 1st, 1955, United Airlines Flight 629 took off from Denver, Colorado, Stapleton Airfield. which I guess is what our DIA used to be called, I'm assuming. Or is there one in Stapleton?
I don't know.
That is Stapleton, right?
I think so.
I have no idea. That was too long ago. Anyway, they were bound for Portland, Oregon. Minutes after the plane's departure from Denver, a bomb exploded and the flaming wreckage fell to earth over tracts of farmland and sugar beet fields near Longmont, Colorado.
That's where my cat's from.
There were no survivors.
Oh my god.
Everybody died. Everybody died.
Tragic.
Yep. So that was the bad.
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear what happened afterwards?
I think so.
Okay. So, the FBI used a nearby barn and they reassembled the plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
They found everything in the wreckage and put it all together and tried to trace back what happened. And then they actually found, like, which luggage exploded and traced it back to Daisy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and this was in 1955.
Wow.
Because planes were, I don't know, kind of new, commercial planes. Obviously, if people were freaking out about traveling in them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they, I just, that just blows my mind.
That's crazy.
How they could do that. So they were able to determine that explosives were used and they had come from Daisy's luggage. Investigators discovered that Graham had a criminal record for embezzlement by check forgery.
Graham.
And illegal transport of whiskey, which he had to serve 60 days in a Texas prison for.
For whiskey?
For illegal transport of whiskey. I don't know. I think that's bizarre. They also determined that the restaurant had been, you know, had that suspicious explosion.
Yeah.
Just earlier that year. You know, that wasn't that long ago. So, they also were able to check that Graham got that money from the restaurant exploding. And so they were like, he seems suspicious. So then they started talking to the locals, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, he fucking hates his mom.
He's that Graham, he wants to kill her.
So, they, yeah, so they were like, oh, he hates his mom, and also, did you hear this? He left his brand new truck in the train tracks just so he could collect insurance money.
He has a problem with insurance.
He's just obsessed with insurance. So, based on all that evidence, and finally a confession after they arrested him, he was arrested and charged with sabotage, but the charge was later changed to murder. What's interesting is, at the time, this is a fun fact. I have it down here, labeled fun fact. Okay, there were no federal statute on the books at the time in 1955 that made it a crime to blow up an airplane.
Oh, so it's just, you can do whatever you want.
Yep.
Just blow up an airplane.
So, on the day of Graham's confession, the only thing they could do to prosecute Graham was premeditated murder of a single victim, his mother.
Wow.
Yep. So, despite the number of victims killed on the flight with his mother, Graham was charged with only one count of first-degree murder, and on May 5th, 1956, Graham was convicted of murder and sentenced to death. Okay.
Wow.
That was a fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
So,
that was very fun.
After he was arrested, a Denver radio station interviewed Graham from prison, which I think is cool.
That is cool.
And he has some really fun quotes. Are you ready?
Yeah.
They're pretty messed up. All right. I loved my mother very much, Graham said. She meant a lot to me. It's very hard for me to tell exactly how I feel. She left so much of herself behind.
Body parts.
falling from the sky. Yeah. So, the FBI, United Airlines, and the district attorney wanted Graham tried, found guilty, and executed promptly as a deterrent to others who might play copycat murders.
Smart.
Very smart.
People like to do that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that guy only got arrested for one murder and he killed a bunch? I'm gonna do that.
I'm gonna do that too. I'm gonna blow up 2 planes.
I'm gonna blow up 7.
And if I don't specifically want to kill a person on that plane, I'll be free.
Yeah, because it's not premeditated that you want to kill one person.
I just want
to
blow up the plane.
I just want to put a bomb on a plane.
It's just my hobby.
Yeah, I didn't mean for it to go off while there were people in it.
I was transporting it to Alaska.
God, it was a birthday present. Jesus. Okay. Graham also told prison doctors that he, quote, are you ready? This is a really fucked up quote.
Yeah.
He realized that there were about 50 or 60 people carried on a standard commercial plane, but the number of people to be killed made no difference to me. It could have been 1,000. When their time comes, there's nothing they can do about it.
Oh my God.
Isn't that fucked up?
Did he say why he says he loves his mom? Does he say why he killed her then?
No, just because they had such a horrible growing up.
It's so weird.
I mean, she left him at an orphanage after she became rich.
That's crazy.
Apparently, that was a thing, though, in the Great Depression.
Uh-huh.
People... Fuji, are you alright? He just, like, had a weird seizure. A mini seizure.
You okay, boy?
Are you alive? Good morning.
Aww.
He stretched so hard, his teeth were chattering. That was interesting. And he's passed out again. Aw, Fuji. Alright. I mean, yeah. How would you feel if, like, your family just sent you to an orphanage? They're like, Faye, I can't afford you. Goodbye. And then, like, I don't know, 10 years later, they were like, oh, I have this large influx of cash. But just stay there.
I would be mad. But I also wouldn't tell a radio station that I loved my mom.
I mean, I feel like even though people, like, all these serial killers and all these murders and stuff that have mommy issues and daddy issues, they still love their parents. But they... Yeah. The hate is just too overwhelming.
That's true.
But, like, how did he even know how to make this bomb?
Was he a smarty?
I don't know.
Grew up in an orphanage.
In the Great Depression.
Yeah, I don't think they teach you much.
I don't think they probably didn't even go to school. I have no idea what was happening in
19...
Wait, when was he born? 1932?
Oh.
Don't know.
You couldn't, like, look up Google how to build a bomb.
No, you could not. I don't think you could even go to the library about that.
Go to the library. Hey, do you have any books about bombs? Bombing a plane? Bombing your mom? Any of those topics?
That, I wonder how he did figure that out. Do they have books about how to create bombs? In the library?
They shouldn't, but maybe back then they did, because, like...
But for what reason? What,
I don't know.
What good person reason do you have for wanting to build a bomb?
I don't know.
Why is that information anywhere? Because, like, even whenever... What reason is there for bombs? There isn't.
Nothing good.
They don't use them for any reason, right? Other than to
blow
hurt
people up.
Yeah. Because whenever you're, like, I don't know, they use dynamite to do, like, landscaping stuff with rocks.
Yeah.
And they use, like, wrecking balls to tear down buildings. Nobody ever is going to be like, you know what would be so good for this job? Just, like, a bomb.
Just give me a bomb.
Just a little baby bomb.
You know those mom-killing bombs?
Yeah, the ones that are, like, really good in planes. That's what I want. And, like, why was it so heavy? You see bombs on TV, and they're, like, I don't know, like, the size of a shoebox?
Yeah.
How was it so heavy that she had paid that much on overages? Unless that bitch had all kinds of shit in there.
Probably.
Just, like, tons of just diamonds. All the
money that she made for selling her son.
Money's not that heavy.
In quarters.
In life insurance policies.
Just put them all in there. So, like, a blow-up with her.
In quarters. I brought you $37,000, sweetie. In quarters. What a bitch.
Well, she was.
I mean, yeah.
Wouldn't put it against her.
Alright, so, alright, I have another fun fact.
Yes.
The trial that followed resulted in Colorado becoming the first state to officially sanction the use of television cameras to broadcast criminal trials.
Alright, a win for Colorado.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cool. 1955. There wasn't colored TVs back then, right?
I don't think so.
So some, like, grainy, like, two-channel.
Yes, I did it.
With all the static that yeah. we were hearing on our microphones earlier. I bet it sounded just like that.
Probably.
What a nightmare.
What a nightmare.
You know what? Didn't they, like... Did they ever broadcast executions, ever?
They used to all gather around to watch hangings.
Yeah, but that was, like... long time ago. Yeah. I mean, like, in the now times, like, gas chambers or, like, electrocution chairs.
I don't know.
I know they have those creepy viewing rooms.
Oh, yeah, for the family.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think they would ever... I don't think they'd ever put it on TV, no, right? That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Can you... Oh, I can't even imagine.
Ew, it's on PBS.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Well, it's got to be somewhere.
Yeah. All right. So, lastly, Graham was executed in the Colorado State Penitentiary gas chamber on January 11th, 1957. Before his execution, he said about the bombing, "As far as feeling a remorse for these people, I don't."
Oh my God, Graham.
I can't help it. Everybody pays their way and takes their chances. That's just the way it goes.
So he is an asshole.
He's just a straight up asshole. He's just
the worst.
So I'm wondering, like, is it just because his mom was a super huge mega bitch that created him to be, like, this horrendous human? Or was he just horrible before?
He had to have just been horrible before, because I can't imagine being so mad that I blow up a plane.
No, because I'm sure there's tons of people that grow up in orphanages.
Yeah.
Who grow up resenting their parents.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people that even had exactly the same situation as him, where, like, their parents put them in the orphanage because of the Great Depression, and then could afford to get them out, and they chose not to, because, like, why would you?
He's my least favorite anyway. That's why I picked him.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, that's it.
That was very interesting. I did not know about that.
Yeah, that was the first ever bombing of a plane.
Wow.
And it happened in the Sunshine State of Colorado.
Sunshine State.
I was watching The Office, which you haven't seen.
No.
But... similar to Community, which you have seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's, like, several awesome seasons, and then one person of the show leaves, like, uh-huh. Troy.
Yeah.
So, in The Office, the main character, Steve Carell's character, leaves the show, and they still go on for a couple more seasons.
Really?
And it's, I still watch it, but I know a lot of people that just, like, stop watching after he leaves. For good reason.
That's so weird.
It's not as good.
It's crazy. I didn't know that.
He leaves, and the way that he leaves in the show is his character is getting married to, Holly, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he is leaving to go move to Boulder, Colorado.
Ooh.
And he's talking to his replacement, and he's like, "Oh yeah, where are you moving to?" And he's like, "Colorado." And he's like, "Oh, the Sunshine State." And he's like, "Yeah." And I just think that's really funny.
I love that.
Because, like, I mean, it is kind of sunny here.
We do get a lot of sunshine.
We get way more sunshine than people give us credit for.
I think we're, like, near the top.
I think,
like,
so, too.
Days.
Yeah. Were you in that class with me?
Maybe.
We both got that interesting fact together.
Perhaps. I don't know where I know that from.
I think I heard it first in a psychology class because they were talking about how sunshine makes you feel better.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were talking about how, like, Colorado gets, like, a ton of sun compared to other states.
We really do, and I really appreciate it.
I really do, too. I'm outside every day to walk my dog.
I'm super tan this summer.
You are so tan. But that's just because you just lay out on lounge on your pool.
Yeah, I got a little baby above ground pool and I just float in it all day.
All day. I would burn to a crisp. I'm outside. If I walk my dog more than like a mile, mm-hmm. I have to put on sunscreen.
Really?
Yeah. And even at a mile, I'm like, I'm feeling it. And I'm like searching and like hiding out under trees and stuff. It's horrible. Being ginger is, it's a rough go.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tragic.
I know. It's so hard for me. It's not that bad. So, that was pretty much it.
I liked it.
That's all she wrote. That's all Graham did.
That was a good story.
Yeah. Thanks.
I loved it.
All right, listeners. If you like this podcast, we will be releasing new episodes every single Friday for your fearsome Fridays. And you can follow us on Instagram at Unholy Gossip Girls. You can follow us on Twitter at Girls Unholy. Follow us on Facebook at Unholy Gossip Girls. Or you can email us at unholygossipgirls@gmail.com. And don't forget about our other podcast, Bachelorette Chow.
Email us story ideas.
Email us your personal stories, because yeah. Some of my favorite podcasts to listen to are listener stories, mm-hmm. where people write in, and then you just get to read people's fucked up stories.
Do that.
So, we have a pretty broad range of stories you could write in, because pretty much anything that's fucked up,
yeah.
or scary,
just weird stuff,
or spooky, or weird, yeah, anything. We're doing, obviously, true crime, but we're gonna do paranormal stuff.
Cryptids.
Just literally anything.
Yeah.
Anything that gets you going, that's what we're gonna talk about. So, email us your stories, email us your ideas for whatever you want us to cover. Let us know if you want us to record more and maybe release 2 episodes a week.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If we have enough stories.
If we have enough stories. All right. Well, see you guys next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.